Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Adam Carriker on the Ticket.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here's your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome, everybody, into Adam Carriker on The Ticket on this fine noon rush hour on a Friday in Lincoln, Omaha, the great state of Nebraska. We got a lot to talk about today. My man Rico is going to be joining me for the first segment. The last segment, and at 12:30, I'm going to be joined by an all-time great, a two-time national champ, a Nebraska Football Hall of Famer, an eight-year NFL vet, one of the best to ever rep the pipeline, Mr. Chris Dishman. As always, we got a loaded show. We're going to talk, I don't know, seems like there's some recent news in the AD part of Nebraska land. Maybe throw out a name that could be talked about as our next potential president, little Nebraska basketball. They are playing a game tonight. I don't know. Hopefully you haven't forgotten about that, but the Nebraska basketball, the men, the women, they're doing some great things. Nebraska men's basketball is taking on Indiana this evening. Tune in, show out, and support Fred Hoiberg and the boys tonight as they take on the Hoosiers, the Hoosier Daddies. All right, ladies and gentlemen, also probably, if we have time, we'll get to it, chat a little bit of NFL free agency and the like. Rico, my man, how you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic, good sir. How are you?
I'm good. You got a haircut since the last time I saw you, and you look sharp.
It's getting warmer here in Nebraska, and I had a lot of hair, and I was like, my scalp needs to breathe a little bit, so I had to chop some of it off.
So I usually wear the hat on backwards. One, I don't have to comb my hair. Two, I don't have to get a haircut. And three, the less of my face I can show, the better. But underneath here is some hair that is occasionally combed and cut at times. All right, my man, real quick, let's chat. Just, you know, potential ADs. And there's a lot of names being thrown around. All right, I'm just going to go through a few. We got Dennis LeBlanc, who's going to be the interim AD for now. Mm-hmm. Okay. Other names that have been thrown around. I'm just going to read them quickly. You got Ed Stewart. Okay. You've got Mac Rhodes, the Baylor AD currently, Brendan Stye, Dennis LeBlanc, maybe Stan. I don't know if that's been talked about a ton, but who knows? Okay, you got John Cook. You got all sorts of names. What, I had like three people. Like, what the hell is this? Bill Belichick. Like, really? Really? Yeah, are we living in fantasy land? Because that'd be awesome. But really, people.
For whatever
people
reason.
Tweeted me that. Yeah. If we could get that, that'd be great. I don't think it's going to happen. All right, Garth Glissman, a guy I tweeted about and then forgot to mention a second ago. All right,
I've heard he's a rising star within the ranks of ADs.
Dude, NBA ties, in charge of major stuff when it comes to basketball in the SEC, a guy that I played with, okay, as well. So talk to me. What are your thoughts on some of these names? Who stands out? What are your thoughts?
I mean, right now, I want to like throw one name out just because I don't feel like he should take the job just yet, and that's John Cook. I don't think that moving him from the volleyball coach to the AD would be a wise move quite yet. Just because, I mean, he has a very young team. He's got a team with a ton of potential, just made it to the championship game and you know, finished second in the league. But if he becomes the AD, he's not doing both. He's not going to be the AD and the head volleyball coach for Nebraska. Like, that's just way too much. That's too much pressure. That's a lot going on for him. So I would prefer that he just stays as the head volleyball coach for however much longer he chooses to. Before he decides to move on. And then if he wants to, and if there's an opening, yeah, sure. Put him as that AD and see what he can do. But for right now, I think we just take John Cook's name off of the AD search list, just because, again, I would much rather him stay as the head volleyball coach for the Huskers. Garth Glissman again. So I'll be honest, I don't know a lot about any of the candidates, but I do know that I've heard Garth Glissman's name a ton. And it seems like it came out of nowhere. His name was not tied to the AD search before when Trev got it around the first time. But I have heard his name a ton this go around, and that he's just a rising star and a name to look out for. And then the name that you didn't mention, the Iowa State AD, Jamie Pollard, that's a name that I think people should look out for. Maybe I know that his name was mentioned before and he either got an extension or just said that he wasn't leaving and that Iowa State was on the uptick. But at the same time, as we talked about for, you know, the past 2 days with athletic directors and football coaches, they're kind of tied together. And right now, I think it's Matt Campbell at Iowa State.
Yep.
Isn't doing as well as he was earlier in his career. And if he goes down the tubes and if Iowa State decides to move on from him, I can only imagine that Pollard wouldn't be too far behind because, again, ADs and coaches are kind of tied together. And although that hasn't worked out there, at least for Campbell so far, I think that Pollard would be a great get for Nebraska.
Yeah, it's interesting with Matt Campbell because when we were doing our coaches search a few years ago, I think back when we hired Frost, he was one of the top names on that list for a long time. Now he's a guy who's talking about who knows how long he's going to be at Iowa State if things don't get turned around. It's crazy how this world works. It's crazy how college football, the head coaching AD jobs work. Now, I will say this when it comes to Iowa State's AD. I mean, I got to learn more about him. I know enough to speak on him. But when you talk about he might come here because he might be let go at Iowa State, that's not an initial great impression. Not that he couldn't be a great candidate or do a great job. I do got to educate myself a little bit more, but that's just a thought that initially entered my mind. Another guy whose name I've seen just here and there, Scott Barnes, the Oregon State AD, who's done a good job there, but obviously Oregon State, I don't even know what their situation is with the conference anymore. So he's probably looking. Are they? Okay.
I think so.
Somebody told me the other day, which is just as ridiculous as Bill Belichick being our AD. Okay, they're like, well, the Pac-2's still around, Adam. I'm like, I don't trust anything you say in the future. No disrespect.
Yeah, okay. They're either going to be independent or I think they were going to – I don't think they were joining the Mountain West. They might be joining the Mountain. They might be joining a conference. They might be independent. That's one of those two. It's not going to be a Pac-2. They're either going by themselves or joining a group of five conference, which, I mean, for Oregon State and Wild, that sucks. Like, that sucks.
My understanding – and this is all incredibly fluid, as we know, is that Washington State, Oregon State are probably going to be independent, but play a lot of Mountain West Conference teams. So basically, they're going to be Mountain West teams. They just refuse to acknowledge it. Okay, so it's interesting to me, and obviously I did my gut reaction. I know that's been played here on the ticket, but when you have a day or two to process what happened with Trev, okay, I think Trev is doing a great job. If he wasn't doing a great job, it's a lot easier to let him go. Trev obviously has deep ties to the university, one of the all-time greats, Nebraska's all-time sack leader, okay? You know, it's tough because when I think about what he was doing, the teams were having success. Football seemed to be on the rise, okay? All the other sports were doing really, really well. He had conducted himself in an incredibly classy fashion and manner. I think what makes it hurt beyond just his ties to the university, the program, the state of Nebraska itself, is kind of the way it happened. You know, it was, he literally got a call and within a week he was gone to A&M. So it didn't take a lot of time. These things don't always take a lot of time. People were notified via email. I think the way that it happened, I think his ties, I think that's what makes it so tough. And I talked about this, me personally, dude, I consider that guy a friend. He's done some really good things for me over the years. So for me, it's an incredibly tough thing for me to talk about because I'm a big fan of him as a whole, but I think the way that things happened, I think that is the toughest part of it. And obviously it's a Nebraska guy leaving a Nebraska guy to go to a university, which in a football program, with all due respect, I see as a lateral move. Now, there was a point in time when I frankly would have saw it as a downgrade, honestly, and not gigantic, just like I don't see it as some sort of gigantic upgrade right now. But if you just think about this, since the Big 12 was formed in 1996, all right, Nebraska has more wins than A&M by 11, and we have not had our strongest past decade either. So keep that in mind. We still have more wins than A&M by 11, more bowl wins by 2. We haven't been to a bowl game in over half a decade. More draft picks by 8. Ranked in the top 25, 25 more weeks, okay? conference championships, we have one more than them during that time, and national championships, one more, 97 during that time, and ranked in the top 10, we have them, we've been in the top 10 52 more weeks than they have during that time. So I think that doesn't help either. When you look at A&M, it's a lateral move in my mind. Some people are like, hey, you're nothing more than Texas's little brother. Some people are like, hey, maybe they have more resources. I've never thought of Nebraska as lacking freaking resources. So if you want to say, hey, there's some recruiting challenges, I've never thought lack of resources as one of them in Nebraska. I don't know. What's been your overall thought on why it's been so hard, okay, for people to kind of accept and deal with and process what Trev did? And then, you know, obviously we chatted about some of the AD candidates going forward, but what are your thoughts as a whole?
To me, I don't agree with all of the people that are getting angry at them. Like, I'm not mad at Trev for the move. This is like a dad thing. I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. Mm-hmm. I'm disappointed in Trev's decision to leave Nebraska and head to Texas A&M because, kind of as you said, you know, Nebraska is not lacking in resources. Yes, Texas, you know, money, Texas oil money is, you know, everybody wants that. But he had just gotten the extension in November that extended him for, I believe, 8 years and had him paid as one of the top 10 ADs in the country. So it's not like it was a money move. He was getting tons of money. So I don't know exactly what went into the decision to leave. But I agree with you on the sports side of things, where as an AD, you look around at all of the sports, not just football, although ADs and football just coincide, like we mentioned earlier. All of the sports in Nebraska seem to be on the uptick. He didn't make all of the hires for head coaches, but he made a couple of hires, and those sports are doing really well. Like, he made the track and field hire with St. Clair, and he was just named the Midwest USTF CCA Coach of the Year.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
That's a lot of.
I feel like you just went through the alphabet, but go ahead.
Right there. Yeah, he was just named the Midwest Track Coach of the Year, and they both men's and women's finished in the top 25 after indoor nationals. The football team, as you said, looks like it's on an uptick, just getting their highest ranked recruit since, you know, they've been giving out stars. Men's basketball seems to be going to an NCAA tournament for the first time in like 10 years. Women's basketball is going to go to the NCAA tournament. Just had a Big Ten runner up finish. Volleyball is doing volleyball things. Softball, you know, had Jordy Ball transfer back and had all this momentum. And even without Jordy Ball, after she injured herself in the first game of the season, they're still doing really good. Baseball doing amazing so far at the start of the season. Like, every sport that Nebraska has right now is either on the upswing or near the top. Women's soccer finished to like the Sweet 16 this year. Like, it was so confusing to me, not knowing anything else going on behind the scenes. Because as an athletic director, if you look any athletic director around the country looking at the sporting scene at Nebraska right now, would be extremely proud and happy to be the athletic director in charge of all of these sports. So I can't get on board with being mad at him. I'm just sad and disappointed because, as you said, he seemed to know and say all of the right things. And there weren't any. I know there were obviously some things, some controversies that were happening at Nebraska, but nothing that was like, you know, his first day at Texas A&M, I don't know if you saw this, Adam, one of the assistant coaches just got indicted for murder. Like, it's
I did not see that.
Yeah, no. It's a very strange circumstance down there at Texas A&M. So he went from Nebraska and whatever is going on right now inside the walls at the athletic department down to Texas A&M in his first day. Hey, here you go. You're handed this, which is completely different from the first controversy that he had at Nebraska, which was the special teams coach with Scott Frost and getting some NCAA violations.
Dude, it's such a great point. And going way back in our conversation, not way back, but like a few minutes ago, Iowa State's AD signing an extension We know that doesn't mean anything, by the way. Let's just go back to point that out. But I digress. No, going to A&M, they're less stable than we are. Now, maybe they've got money. Nebraska has money. In fact, one of the people at 93.7, the Ticket, about a month ago, and I could probably say his name, he wouldn't care. He's the owner. He looked at me when we were chatting about something. He goes, Nebraska has more money and they know what to do with. And I said, can I quote you on that on the air? And, you know, Nebraska's not hurting for NIL money. They're not hurting for boosters. They're not hurting for funds. They're not hurting for nothing. Okay. You look at A&M, they brought in Jimbo Fisher for $100 million contract, and he absolutely did not live up to it. They're not done paying him on that money. Now Alberts is dealing with, you know, the murder charge of one of his employees now. Okay. He's tied to a head coach that he did not hire. I don't know if he's directly tied to him, but that coach is going to be there 3 or 4 years now, especially after what just happened with Fisher. It has to be way more murky and rocky waters than what's going on at Nebraska right now. Like, I feel like Matt Rhule, unless he just goes out and bombs year two, which I don't see happening, it feels like the football program's on much more solid footing. To kind of add on to what you said, wrestling, top three in the country right now. Okay, you've got soccer, women's soccer, I believe actually went to the Final Four, if I remember correctly. So, and I know that because all my girls play soccer, and so they all wanted to watch it. And so I watched them play in that Final Four, which was a great match, by the way. So for me, I'm with you. And, you know, somebody who said to me, there's going to be a lot of people with interest in this AD job across the country because of how well everything is going and how well these teams are doing. And not all of that is directly attributed to Trev, but he was here during a lot of that, okay? And so I think that makes it harder and a lot of things as well. Now, when it comes to John Cook, I'm with you on that. And when his name was first proposed to me, my instant reaction was, oh, that'd be a great hire. What about volleyball? It's not like volleyball is just going to fall apart, you know, especially with the young team and all the people they have coming back. They're going to be great again. Okay, but I want him coaching volleyball. We've got other potential ADs out there that would do a phenomenal, do a really good job as well. What are your thoughts on guys like Ed Stewart? Okay. And a name that has been floated out there. I think it was Dave Remington that I first saw it. I could be wrong, but also Brendan Stye, who joined the Nebraska Athletic Department July of 2018 as a director of development. And he was promoted to assistant athletic director pretty quickly and in leadership giving to football relations in 2022. So he's obviously been here a while. He's been doing a good job. Like, what are your thoughts on Ed Stewart, Brendan Stye? And I'm not necessarily saying it has to be a former player or a former Husker. Those two guys just happen to have those ties.
Now, I do know right now, because we had talked about Ed Stewart a little bit yesterday. We were going through the text line and asking people for some names that they thought would be good ADs or good fits for Nebraska. And Ed Stewart's name did come up. We looked it up and found out that he is currently the Executive Senior Associate Athletic Director, Football Administration at USC. So after his name was floated around before Trev got hired, when they were going through that AD process, Ed Stewart's name was being floated around there. Between then and today, he decided to go to USC and become the Executive Senior Associate Athletic Director. So right now he's sitting in a pretty good spot at USC, but I'm sure if Nebraska came calling and said, hey, we want to make you the actual athletic director here at Nebraska, that would be something that would pique his interest a little bit. But however, I just keep going back to, we don't know exactly why Trev left. And I feel like a lot of the people who are going to be connected to this job know Trev on potentially a personal level. And if they ask him, you know, why did you decide to leave Nebraska with all of this success surrounding you and you just signed a new contract and all of this? And he tells them that it worries me a bit that whatever he says to them might change their minds if they're looking at Nebraska and considering becoming the athletic director. There is also the problem where Nebraska still doesn't have a president. It's been 7 months since they knew that their president was going to leave for Ohio State. He gave them time before he left in January, and they still haven't named. I don't know if they have finalists, but if they have, they haven't made it public. But they definitely don't have somebody that they have named the president. And I feel like that's a very important piece before you name an athletic director, is to have the person directly above him or her to help them in, you know, garnering funds and doing whatever athletic directors do.
It's funny. I was literally about to talk about the picture that I showed on my gut reaction, the picture where three of the four of the individuals are gone. Ronnie Green, Ted Carter, Trev Alberts, Matt Rhule. I was like, we need to start by figuring out those guys. Okay. Ted Carter. Okay. AD. I agree with you. I actually think I tweeted out this morning, a president needs to be hired first, then the AD. And we've already obviously already got the football coach here. Okay. So I agree. Those are all the things that need to be addressed. And man, I'll tell you what, I don't think I've ever heard the Board of Regents talked about as much as I have in the history of my life combined as I have the past 48 hours. I'll be honest with you. I didn't know what they look like, the eight members. Now same. I can't get their images out of my head because people just keep sending it to me over and over like I haven't seen it 8,000 times in the past 48 hours.
They're like, these guys, these are the ones. Yeah.
These ladies and gentlemen, I understand it. I get it. How much? So the Board of Regents is getting a lot of pub and not a lot of it's friendly. How much of this do you place on them?
Again, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but I feel like if you have three of your more powerful, higher up members, you know, underneath the Board of Regents leaving all within a year, then maybe they might have something to do with those three leaving, especially after, again, not filling one of those positions for 7 months. I don't know how long it takes to interview and hire and determine who you want as a president, but I feel like 7 months would be plenty of time to find a suitable candidate. And the Board of Regents, I don't know. Again, these are things that I don't know what their jobs are. I don't know what they do, but I do know that they're in charge of making some of these hires. And if they haven't done that, then that's squarely on their shoulders.
So I'm with you. I know a little bit. I don't know a lot of bit. So I got to educate myself just a little bit more on the BOR, the Board of Regents. But yep. I know a couple of folks on the Board of Regents. I don't know as much as I'd like to know about the Board of Regents. I know more than nothing. So that's good. I think to answer my own question, to add on to your answer to my own question, sometimes 2 + 2 just equals 4. And sometimes I don't want to say it's that simple. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Okay. I think when Ted Carter went to Ohio State, I was kind of like, huh, okay, we'll keep going. You know, we'll find a new president and no big deal. When you have Ted Carter getting poached by Ohio State and you have Trev Alberts, our AD, again, the all-time sack leader, one of the greats, a legend, a guy who was having immense success while he was here, ties to the university. I'm just going to call it like I see it, making a parallel move to go to Texas A&M, a place that I don't believe he has any ties whatsoever, a place that is probably less stable than Nebraska right now. I don't know that it's way less stable, but maybe a little bit less stable than Nebraska, certainly not more stable. Okay, that is what gets me to look around and be like, there's some things that need to be addressed. There's a light that needs to be shined and shown down on some things, and they need to be addressed. Because now we have some of our most important people in the university and the athletic department getting poached by multiple other schools. And one of them, while being a great university and program, is seen as Texas's little brother. Now, the only thing that could have made it worse was if he would have went to Texas. Like, oh, my God. Ooh. That would have been a volcano erupting.
That would have been a problem.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to pay some bills really quick. Don't go anywhere, though. When we come back, I'll be joined by all-time legendary great Husker, former offensive lineman, pipeline member, Mr. Chris Dishman. We'll be right back.